Will you turn your Bibles to John 19, 31 to 37. Scripture today is from John chapter 19, verse 31 to 37. This is the reading of God's word. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture will be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Thus ends the reading of God's word. It is amazing to realize that what Jesus came to do was what the people truly wanted, and yet they could not see it. The faithful Jews hoped, prayed, and waited for the Messiah more than anyone in their lives, and yet when Jesus walked among them, they treated him like a criminal. The people were zealous to be holy, so they rigorously obeyed all 612 laws that they structured to be part of their lives in keeping God's word. And yet, when the lawgiver came amongst them, they abused him like a lawbreaker. The Roman soldiers were so eager to get a little more of Jesus' clothing that they even drew lots, not realizing that the man they crucified came to give the riches of heaven's inheritance. People, what are you hungry and craving for in your life? Are you lonely, needing true friends to walk with, navigating through the valleys of life? And I ask you then, is there a better and truer friend than our Lord, who will never hurt, who will never betray, who will never deny, who will never forsake or disappoint any of his friends? If we only knew what an amazing friend he truly was or is. Are you depressed, hurting, fighting with yourself, never certain how life would turn one day? Did you know Jesus truly knows how to comfort us, calm our fears, and give us a peace that transcends all understanding? Are you craving success, needing to feel wanted and supported and approve? Did you know his way will triumph in the end? His will is to truly make his people glorious like he, which means no one, absolutely no one, can possibly be more amazing than his people. It really is true. What Jesus is offering is what we need more than anything, and definitely more certain than in any offers in our world. May I lovingly remind us, our God's way is always the best way. God's word is truly the best gift we can have in our world. When God's word is done in our lives, then we are receiving the greatest gift and joy we can possibly have. Let's go and begin here with our passage. We begin with verse 31. Let me reread chapter 19, verse 31. It reads, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. We are told this was a unique day, a day of preparation, a day before the Sabbath. Why would this information be important? Let me take you to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 23 gives us a clue. You must not leave the body hanging on the pole, meaning the cross, overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day, because anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. You must not desecrate the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. As we can see, if the bodies remain on the cross, then it will ceremonially defile the land. You see, the Jews were concerned about not defiling themselves, so they took measures to avoid it or had ceremonies to cleanse themselves from it. Let's do a little remembering, shall we? Remember the ceremonial water jars at the home of the wedding party in Cana in John chapter 2? They kept those six, right, water jars to wash ceremonially, because whenever they went out to the marketplace, they believed those Gentiles defiled them. In John chapter 4, the Jews avoided walking through Samaria because they wanted to avoid getting defiled by them. That was why Jesus, remember, going through Samaria and even stopping there at the well to speak with the Samaritan woman was such a big deal to the Jews. Remember the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. Why were the Jewish leaders so eager to stone this woman even inside the temple? It was because they wanted to cleanse themselves from the defilement that adultery brought to the land. It was clear the Jews were very concerned about not wanting to get defiled. Sadly, they tried so hard to be ceremonially clean, but somehow they could justify killing an innocent man. They wanted to be clean, and yet in their mind, it was okay to kill an innocent man. How do you reconcile with this? Reflecting on that, though, I was saddened and frightened because, unfortunately, we are not immune from this shameful behavior ourselves. We can be so mindful and concerned over some small things, but turn a blind eye to an even greater injustice we may be guilty of. As you know, all of us have blind spots. May our God give us humility so that we will not cover up our greater sin by accusing others of their sin. Have you seen it? It is usually the guilty people who act more hurt than the victims, because that's the way to cover up our evil, isn't it? Now, did you know that Jesus did not last on the cross as long as these two criminals that were nailed next to him? Breathing was so difficult in crucifixion that if the legs were broken, they could not help lifting the torso. Therefore, they would die quickly. That is why in John chapter 19, verse 32 and 33, we are told that the legs of the two others who were crucified with Jesus were broken, which means they were not dead quite yet. But when it came to Jesus, it was unnecessary, for he was already dead. As soon as Jesus completed his task here on earth, there was no longer any need to stay, so he departed to go and be with his Father. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he truly meant everything was done, and therefore it was time for him to ascend to the Father. Now, though Jesus finished himself, all that he came to do, did you know God's word still continues to fulfill more of God's prophecies? Wait, isn't Jesus the fulfillment of all the prophecies? Yes and no. It is through him the prophecies are fulfilled. But even after his death, we will see today two amazing prophecies that God fulfills is going to be so incredibly applicable, relevant, and important for God's people, for all of us. In John chapter 19, verse 36 and 37, he explains, he says, "These things happen so that the scripture will be fulfilled." And then listen to those two prophecies he speaks about. "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Now, these are not random scriptures from the Old Testament, right? Brought about just here for this crucifixion. I want us to see these two prophecies. Not one of these bones will be broken, first, and then second, they will look on the one they have pierced. These two prophecies are part of scripture, but I want you to see it's going to be part of our lives, how utterly important and applicable they are to us. And so allow me to help you and walk with you to understand these two prophecies. So let me begin with the first. Not one of his bones will be broken. That's the first prophecy. Did you know the first connection to this prophecy takes us all the way to the time of Exodus, to the Lamb of God? During that first Passover, when all the Jews gather inside the home to eat. Let me take you to Numbers chapter 9. Though that specific scripture should have been in Exodus, but in Exodus it doesn't explain. It omits one part. That's why I am taking you to Numbers here. Numbers chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Listen what he says. "There to eat the lamb, together with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." Ooh, untasty food, folks. This meal was meant to be bitter. So for all of us who love delicious food, this isn't it, but it is necessary. And then he continues. "They must not leave any of it till morning." And then see that underline? "Break any of his bones. When they celebrate the Passover, they must follow all the regulations." See, we will think breaking a bone while killing an animal wouldn't matter so much. But God said that this lamb would be killed with his blood on the doorposts of the houses, and yet not one of the bones must be broken. Killed, but not have any of the bones broken. That was meant to be the Passover lamb. But a second prophecy to not have these bones broken takes us not to a lamb, but from a lamb, it will take us to a person. Now, let me make that connection for us. In Psalm 34, verse 20, sometimes scriptures on the screens are really, really helpful, but sometimes not very helpful, unless you have your Bible's pages turning and getting and seeing from Exodus to Numbers to Psalm, you will find the scripture or the Bible or the sermon not as exciting. So I hope and I pray that you write these scriptures and go home and find them and read them from your own Bible, okay? Don't let this become a substitute for your Bible. Get your own book. Amen? So many of you read it from here. No wonder you don't know where it is, because all you got to do is type in and then it gets it. Useful. but don't let it substitute for the Bible. Amen? Getting better. Okay. Psalm 34, verse 20. Listen to this prophecy. It says, He protects all his bones. And then what? Not one of them will be broken. These words were given to King David. Well, actually, before he was the king. See, he was running for his life from King Saul and ended up running to the land of the Philistines under King Abimelech. Now, this is an enemy king. So he should have and definitely could have easily killed this guy, which is why, in order to survive, David pretended to be insane. You know how he did that? He started dripping saliva all over his beard. Yuck. He went to the doorpost and started scratching the doors with his fingernails. Can you imagine how painful that would be? He actually really looked and behaved like a madman in order to survive. That's how weak he felt and he was. Despite such fears, despite his fragile state, despite the helplessness he found himself, God's promise was that he will protect David. And how? Not one bone will be broken. Now, this verse, remember, not one of the bones will be broken, which was given to the Passover lamb, and yet somehow also given to King David. Now, we see in our passage, God uses them as a prophecy for the Lamb of God, who came from the line of David. Though both people who were crucified with Jesus had their legs broken, his bones were protected like the lamb for the Passover and like God protected David. Even in death, every single one of Jesus' bones will be protected, which is why the soldiers, as we read in John 19:33, did not, or should I say, could not break his legs. Dear people of God, do you see? Do you believe what our God says is always and truly done? God's word spoken in Exodus, that was about 1,400 years ago. Spoken again in Psalms, which is about 1,000 years ago. And the words, not one of his bones will be broken. Even though all the people in the same circumstances will have their bones broken, even though two of the three people crucified that day did have their bones broken, and yet there was one exception, one person whose bones would not be broken because God's word had authority over everyone there, including those who did not believe in God's word to be their authority. How do you like that? God's authority not only over the people that he reigns, but God's authority even over those who did not believe in his authority. Though the Jews and the soldiers did not believe God's word, they did not care for God's word, they did not even know that these words were applicable here, and yet, even to such unbelieving people, God's word reigned on them and ruled over them. In other words, when God says it, it is done. His words would always be done. Similarly, it may be the norm of our world to try to break our lives through the many hardships, sicknesses, pain, difficulties, and even heartaches. Yet, God has promised not only to his son, has promised not only to King David, has promised not only to the Lamb, but our God has promised to all his people, you, that despite the difficult things happening in your lives, They cannot break you. They cannot break us. Why? Because our God is Emmanuel. He's always with us. The Apostle Paul therefore believed God's promise and reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, this is at the very conclusion of his life. Remember through the many hardships he went through and suffered through. Oh boy, how perilous his life was. How helpless he felt many times. And yet this is what he loudly, proudly, confidently exclaims and declares for all to hear. In 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18, he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I, he says, that was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Not some, not most, not only when it's most desperate, not at all. It is inclusive, completely. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and therefore will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. No wonder then he concludes this amazing, confident declaration. With praise, he says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, my friends, Jesus' unbroken legs speaks to God's protection on the people who have placed our trust on our Father and our Lord to be our Savior and Lord. And as the Father protected his Son, so he will protect all of his children. As Paul will say, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. I love the hymn that he confesses earlier in that book, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. When he wrote, I know whom I believe and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Remember that hymn? But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that final day. He will keep it. Is the promise. That's the words that are given to us. Not one bone will be broken. That was the first prophecy. Now let me take you to the second prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus' crucifixion. And that is, they will look on the one they have pierced. In John chapter 19, verse 34, instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Oh, the cruelty. So brutal, isn't it? Clearly, Jesus' death was real, confirming that his physical body was real. It is strange that a holy and almighty God would trouble himself to become flesh, to suffer the agony of death like an evil criminal. It would seem that our God could have accomplished the salvation of sinners in a much easier and less painful manner. In fact, since he's the Almighty God, he could have just as easily called for our sins to be removed. And his words would become true because his word has that power and authority. After all, God created the world out of nothing simply what? With his words. He healed people with his words. He raised the dead simply with his words. Therefore, it will seem logical and possible that God could have cleansed our sins only with his words. But strangely, Though such option might have been available to our all-wise God, the option God chose to forgive the sins of the people was not accomplished through words only, but through Jesus fulfilling all the words it was prophesied for him. Rather than speak from the heavens, Jesus instead stooped low, came down to earth, put on flesh, and lived like humans. And yet, unlike humans, he never sinned. So that ultimately he can become the substitute for sinners on the cross without ever having sinned. In other words, even though he never sinned, he went to the cross to represent the people who were full of sin. What a weird representation, isn't it? He who had no sin will represent all the sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 speaks to that exactly, doesn't it? God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, do you know why Jesus had to live a perfectly sinless life? It was because you and I had sinned. And in order to exchange our sinfulness and replace it with his righteousness, he took up our sinfulness and instead gave us his sinless righteousness. How unfair for God, isn't it? And yet, what an incredible exchange for us. Friends, do you know why Jesus had to die such a painful death? That is, to have nails pierced through his hands, to have thorns pricked his head, to have a spear thrusted onto his side. It was because the penalty for sin was a painful death. So Jesus would not only suffer death, but all the pain that involved such a cursed death, death for us. Do you see why Jesus had to come? Because Jesus came, we know that his love for us was real. He wanted us to experience how much he truly loved us. He died his death with his arms spread wide, signifying that his heart was open for us. That's the image of his last dying breath, isn't it? It wasn't just a death. It was a death of deep love for us. Because he came, we know how far he'll go in search for those who are lost. It seems reckless that a God would leave the 99 good sheep in order to go search for one troublemaker. And yet, that's what he does. Doesn't it? Because he came, we know that he would always be with us. Never would he leave us. Never would he forsake us. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. He came to dwell with us and die among us so that we can look on the one that has pierced. See, this prophecy comes from the Old Testament. Let me take you to Zechariah, the next to last book in the Old Testament. So if you want to look Zechariah, go to Matthew, then you'll find Malachi, and then before that, Zechariah. Chapter 12, verse 10. This is the prophecy it is written. And I'll pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. What is that grace and supplication? Here it comes. They will look on one, the one they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Did you know the soldiers clearly does not have any clue as to what God's word was said in the Old Testament? Nothing in his action was meant to fulfill God's word, and yet as oblivious as a soldier was to God's word, he did exactly what God has spoken about some 500 years before, as we read here in the prophet Zechariah. So people, we need to look, lift up our eyes and look on the one that pierced. And we will see, even though he was pierced, not one of his bones were broken. Remember the people in the desert who were bitten by the snake? When they looked up and lifted, when they looked up on the lifted snake, they were healed. Similarly, when the people look up on the one lifted up on the cursed tree, our curses of sin, are cleansed, removed, and forgiven as Jesus finished paying for all the debts of our sins. So folks, in closing, let's learn to accept and believe God's word and rejoice how God accomplishes all of his goodwill over the world, including over every single person's life, especially the lives of his children. The intention of God's word is always for the glory of our God, which always includes the blessing of his people. Don't you? Do you get it? When you and I are living for God's glory alone, it is always included that our blessing will be included in his glory. It isn't only that he receives the glory, and for us, que sera, sera, not so. That's not how he works. In that glory, it always includes our blessing. Therefore, when God's people learn to submit under God's word, then we can joyfully anticipate and participate in fulfilling his will. And if we fight it, oh boy, can I still tell you? His will still be done. Like the soldiers and the Jews who were fighting against to do God's will, and yet on that hill called Calvary, all of his will was done, wasn't it? So I say, dear brothers and sisters, if we want joy in God's will, there's no other option but to obey joyfully. However, if we choose disobedience, then can I sadly tell you, misery will follow. Our joy and misery truly hinges on our will to obey God's word or to disobey. Let me close our message today by taking you to Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. And if you have your Bible, please open. If not, on the screen we'll have. I'm going to finish and conclude my sermon with this. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 and 18. I hope you will take time throughout this week to really meditate and wrestle with this, because it is an amazing scripture. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Listen to what he says. I am the Lord your God. Right? A God who's infinitely wise, omniscient, omnipresent, all wise God. He says what? Who teaches you what is best for you. His teaching is not merely to bless you. His teaching is not merely to glorify himself. His teaching includes in that amazing glory what is what? Not just good for you, folks. Not just what's better than the world. It says, who teaches you what is best for his people, you and I. Who directs you in the way you should go. And then he explains what that looks like in verse 18. He says, if you only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. What is a river like? Calm, isn't it? That's the peace he gives you. And then he gives you one other image, your well-being, like the waves of the sea. What does the waves do when you go to the ocean? Never stops, does it? Repeatedly comes to you. You think you receive enough grace? No, he gives you more. He keeps coming and coming. When can we experience peace like a river? When can we experience well-being like the waves of the sea? When His children, when His people understand what our God is giving us in His word is best for us. That's why, my friends, obedience can never be begrudging. Obedience can never be duty-bound, responsibility, obligation-bound. Obedience for us must be our purest delight, greatest joy, and the most awesomest privilege, because we know He's given you what is best for you. Fall in love with Him, and you will see His commands are so beautiful. May that be our hearts. His word will be done. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege, amazing. Lord, sometimes, you know, I could be hysterical and sometimes loud and perhaps overly emotional. But your words do that to me, Lord, because it is real, it is powerful. Surely I don't obey everything you say, and that is to my sadness, and I hate that about me, Lord. But I know when I do, that amazing joy and hope you give. Lord, in life I have suffered enough heartaches, disappointments, discouragement, to know, Lord, life is bitter. But Lord, I also know what you have prepared for me and your people. It is so glorious. It is so amazing. The people keep thinking, Lord, those athletes, those celebrities, the people, the wealthy people in the world, they have it all. They don't. Do not envy them, Lord. I do not. Nor should we. Because, Lord, what you have given to us, it is so much more glorious and real and powerful and joyful. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for all of your people, for all of us here today, Lord. Will you open our eyes of faith so that, Lord, we will see your truth as more real and powerful. Please, Lord, for all the sons and daughters that are here in our church, Lord, will you also bless their hearts and open them so that they will see your truth is the most powerful and real truth there ever is and there ever will be. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. And praying that, Lord, we would all humbly, joyfully submit and obey you. We thank you and we pray all of these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.